Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
So Corey Pagano is our director of worship here. More than that, he's a son of the house. Just another good-looking guy at the church.
Well, you know.
And we're in our worship message series, and I asked Corey to share today, not because he's the worship director, right? It's not like we're talking about music, and I'm going to have the music guy come talk about. It's not that. What we're talking about is worshiping God, and Corey actually has a private worship life. Not everybody who worships on stage has a worship life. Did you know that? Not everybody who's on stage has a... Not in your team.
Not
in your team.
Yeah.
But it's just like any other gift and talent that you can turn off and turn on if you so desire. But Corey actually has a worship life. And I as I was planning out this message series, I said, Corey needs to share this third message on worship. And I talked with him, and I knew that was God speaking. And so he's a licensed minister. He's been faithful, been ministered overseas, and is all around good guy. Now, one real quick thing. We had an altar call for salvation during worship, and I looked over and I saw Corey over there, and I just walked over because, you know, I teach my leaders never assume anything because you don't know. And I said, Corey, were you getting saved before you preached today? What exactly was happening, right? I asked that, yeah?
You did. Yeah,
I did.
Exactly
now,
like that.
I'm fairly certain you're saved, right? I'm pretty sure. Tell them what you told me.
Well, Mike and Sue weren't praying for anybody, so I said, I'm preaching soon. You guys can pray for me. That was pretty much it.
That's called humility, and that's something we honor. Amen? Now, the untrained eye says, this guy's going to preach. I saw him over there at the salvation altar. But people who don't assume say, that's somebody I want to listen to who's humble enough to go up there and not care what people think right before he preaches. Amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Mike and Sue already prayed for him. So this is redundant, but we just ask that you would bless him and you would help him bring the word of the Lord today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Give it up for Corey if you would.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Carl. Thank you for the opportunity this morning. I really appreciate it. You know, when Pastor asked me to preach, I said, are you kidding? Of course I want to preach. Anytime I get to share the pulpit, your pulpit with you, I appreciate it. It's always a yes. So super thankful for these opportunities, and I'm excited to be talking to you today. Real quick note on that last thing. If you're here this morning and you are away from God and you didn't respond to that altar call, don't leave today without having someone pray for you. Don't leave today without getting right with Jesus, all right? Dude, I mean, like, that's what we're here. Fix that. Yeah. Fix that and watch your life get better. Because God loves you, amen? So today we're in the third week of our Worthy message series. Love the graphic. And week one, Pastor talked about Thanksgiving, right? Giving God your thanksgiving, no matter how you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, going before him and remembering what he's done, because if he's done it before, he'll do it again. And what he's done in your life, that's your reality. That's the truth of who he is in your life. When you're thankful for what he's done, come on, that sets up your future. That lines things up in your life, right? Week two, we talked about praise. We talked about praise. We talked about putting God first. When you put God first, everything else lines up. That he is the God of breakthrough, and praise brings the breakthrough. Praise brings his presence, right? Praise brings the power of God. Now, here at Revival Life Church, there's a call on our house. And I'm not bragging here. It's just what Jesus has told us. There's a call on our house for worship. And I believe we have a house here of worshipers, full of artists, full of songwriters, and we don't got it all worked out. We don't have it all perfect, but there's a call here. And I know I'm talking to worshipers this morning. So I'm excited to be talking to a room full of worshipers this morning. In fact, this message, I believe it's specifically for the worship team today. I believe it's specifically for the worship team, and that's you. You are the worship team of Revival Life Church. It's not the people leading us on stage every morning. It's not just the folks up there. We are the worship team of Revival Life Church. And when we worship, we move mountains. Come on, when we worship as a family, we change things in one another's life. There's power in our corporate worship. When we come together on Sunday morning, you are the worship team, and we get to join in and come into one another's worship, and God does stuff. Come on, he'll erect valleys, he'll level mountains, he'll split oceans. Come on, we have no idea the mark we leave on our city when we come together and lift a song to Jesus on Sunday mornings. Amen. So, this morning, we're talking about worship. And, funny thing about worship is the world around us is constantly bidding for our worship. The world around us is constantly bidding for our time, for our passion, for our energy. That's what happens. Everything around us wants some of our worship. Sports, entertainment. Everything around us wants some of our worship. So what we do is we give a little bit of our worship here, a little bit of our worship there, a little bit of our worship here, and a little bit over here to God. Because we're spread so thin. See, what the real trap is in our worship is that we see natural problems in our life. And let me say this first. I've never had somebody come to me and say, you know, Corey, I'm having a real hard time worshiping Jesus because I just love football too much. I can't get along with God because all I want to do is worship football. I've never had anyone say that. But what I have had people say is, man, I got things going on in my life. I got problems in my life and I don't know how to fix it. And what happens is we start to worship the natural solutions to those problems instead of worshiping God who has a supernatural solution to those problems. That's the real trap of our worship is within our problems we find solutions to them and start worshiping those solutions. We saw, I gotta get my finances right. I know what I'll do. I'll start to worship my boss. Then maybe I'll get a promotion. Then maybe I'll, no, why don't you worship Jesus, work hard and trust him in the thing that you need breakthrough. See, what happens is when we start to worship the solutions, again, we get spread so thin that God gets none of our worship and nothing in our life lines up. But like we were talking about last week with praise, we worship God. We put him at the head. We make him front and center. Then everything else starts to line up in our life. Amen? So, what is worship exactly? Well, I'm going to tell you what Webster Dictionary says worship is. It says, worship is to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. To regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. That's pretty good. I like that, right? That's pretty good. And you know what I like best about this is those two words right there, extravagant devotion. Extravagant devotion. Because we know Webster doesn't define what worship means for us as the church, right? The Bible defines what worship means for us as the church. But when I see those two words, extravagant devotion, something in me jumps. And I say, yeah, that's all right. I can connect with that. Put up the next definition here. Extravagant. Next one here. Exceeding what is reasonable or appropriate. Absurd. Exceeding what is reasonable or appropriate. Absurd. What's the next one? Devotion. Love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. So extravagant devotion is literally absurd love and enthusiasm for Jesus. Absurd love for Jesus. That means it's going to look crazy to those who don't know him. That means it's going to look crazy to the world around you that's bidding for your worship. That means it's not going to make sense to everybody else. It's extravagant devotion. So as we talk about worship today, you know, I want to give you a biblical definition of worship. You guys ready for a biblical definition of worship? Now, it's not complicated. It's quite simple. If you're taking notes today, you can write this down. A biblical definition of worship is pouring out your heart to God. Come on. This is what the Bible tells us worship is. To pour your heart out to God. We talked about thanksgiving and praise, but worship is what you do when he walks in the room. Worship is what you do when he shows up. We sung that first song, "You are good, hallelujah, you are good." And that was awesome. But in the second song, he came in the room. And that's when we started worshiping. In that second song, he came in the room. And when he showed up in the room, I want to ask you this morning, did you release your passion to Jesus? Were you pouring out your heart to God? Did you ever actually enter into worship? I want to share with you a passage from Scripture. This is our verse today. And this, man, I got to be honest with you. I had like 3 different messages this week that I was wrestling with. And then when I read this verse, I just started to cry in the presence of Jesus. I'm like, oh, this is it. And then later I talked to Pastor on the phone. He confirmed. He's like, yeah, talk about that. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for recovering. So if you have a Bible today, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 7. We're going to go to verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36.
Hallelujah, you are good.
That second song was good, though, right? I will awake and spend my days loving the one who's raised me up. From death to life, from wrong to right, you're making all things beautiful. Come on, worship is what we do when he's in the room. You guys got your Bible open? Here we go. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read this nice and slow because I want you to really get these, what's happening here and the spirit behind this on the inside of you today. You know, I don't want to come up here and give you a teaching this morning. My goal today is that your passion for Jesus and for worship would get stirred up. That's my only goal. I don't care if you remember a single word I say, but if you leave here with a hunger to worship Jesus this morning, then that's the mission. Amen. Amen. So, wow. Woo.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I'm grunting. My daughter's grunting. In case you don't know what's happening, my whole body just started burning and it's hurting a little bit. And I believe it to be Jesus. And I don't want to stop it. Sometimes you got to look a little foolish. We'll talk about that soon. All right. Luke 7, verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him being Jesus, to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Verse 37. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is, who is touching him, that she's a sinner. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with her perfume. She began to pour her passion out to Jesus. This is our worship. This is biblical worship. This is pouring your heart out to God. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word this morning. I thank you for your church. I thank you that you are alive today and that you are with us here this morning. I thank you for your presence in your kingdom in this room, Father. And I just pray that you would come and pour out your spirit in this place and you ignite a passion this morning, a fresh passion. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody said, amen, 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 amen. So what do we know about this woman? Well, we know 2 things. One, that she's a woman. And 2, that she's a sinner. She was a woman and she was a sinner. That's all we know about her. We don't have any other information. And what happened was when she heard that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house, what does the Bible say? It says she brought. Let's put that scripture back up. It says that she brought him an alabaster vial of perfume.
She brought something to Jesus. That means when she heard that Jesus was there, she stood up, she moved her feet, and she brought something to the Pharisee's house. Now, I don't know why she did this. I don't know if she saw Jesus in the city and she just saw something on him. I don't know if something leaped inside of her. I don't know if Holy Spirit was drawing her. I mean, we can assume that, right? The Holy Spirit was drawing her, but something was happening. She said, "That one right there is worthy of my worship." And what did she do? She responded. If you're taking notes today, number one is we have to respond. We have to respond. The first thing is in worship is we have to respond. In that second song today, when Jesus came in the room, did you respond? Come on. Did you respond? Did you respond to his presence? Did you respond to his goodness? Because here's this sinner woman who doesn't, she doesn't know Jesus is the Messiah. She doesn't know anything about him. Not that we're aware. But yet and still, there's something on his life. And she's like, I have to give him worship. I have to give him my very best. I have to pour out the perfume on his feet. And she's standing at his feet weeping. Do you understand how absurd this is? She walks into a religious leader's house. She's a sinner. She's not even supposed to be. She walks in, and while they're eating, she's crying at his feet. She didn't care. She's like, there's something in her. She's like, I have to respond. I have to respond to Jesus. Something happened when she became aware of who he was. Like, I can't not do it. I can't not respond to who God is. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." Hallelujah. I believe that this is what was happening in her heart. Holy Ghost is just knocking, saying, "Hey, come on. Come on. Will you do it? Will you be courageous? Will you be bold? Will you get out of your comfort zone? Will you?" And she responded to Jesus. And for me, this is often how it is, you know, in my life. I have two kids. I run a business. I oversee the worship team here. And there's just stuff going on. We all have busy lives. We all have stuff going on. And that first step is often the hardest. But we need to go get along with Jesus and worship him. We need to get along with Jesus and worship him. I got to tell you what, as my worship goes, so goes my life. Like this is life to me. This is what anchors me. This is everything to me. I'll be going through stuff and people will say, "Man, how's your life going so good?" And I'll say, "It's not, but I have an anchor in worship and that's where I live." So for me, oftentimes responding to Jesus looks like me just picking up my guitar and going into another room. That's the first step. That's for me, if I just get my guitar and walk somewhere where I'm alone, I know what's coming next. Come on. I'm gonna have sweet communion with Jesus. But it's that first thing where I say, I'm gonna turn the TV off. I'm gonna take my phone and put it to the side. I'm gonna get off Instagram. I'm gonna get off whatever news feed it is that you follow. I'm gonna get off Facebook. And I'm just gonna choose to step toward Jesus just like this bold sinner woman did. Come on. I'm gonna choose to step towards Jesus. So that's what I do. I grab my guitar and I go somewhere alone. I'll tell you what, I'll be at work. I'll be sitting at work, and I own my own business, so I know not everybody can do this, but I'll be sitting there, and I'll just feel anxiety start to come. I'll say, no. I got a guitar at work. I got a home worship guitar. I got a work worship guitar, because you know what? I never know when I'm going to get that knocking on my heart, and the Holy Ghost is going to say, come on. Come on, Corey, let's go. Let's enter in. I'm ready. I'm ready because I've already decided in my life that he is good. I've already decided in my life, no matter how I'm feeling, he is good. That means my feelings don't get to dictate how I respond to Jesus. My feelings don't get to dictate how I respond to Jesus. It's been resolved. I've decided. That's it. I am a worshiper. I want to tell you today that you are a worshiper. Amen. You are a worshiper. This is my life source right here. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself this morning, but it's not because I'm special. It's because he's special. He's special. This is my life source right here. God told me to get married in worship. Now, I remember one time I got fired from my job. And if you know me, you know this testimony. I got fired from my job. And I spent 3 or 4 days applying to every single place I could find. On the fourth day, I woke up. It was a Saturday morning. I said, I'm going to worship today. And I started worshiping. And God told me, hey, you know that mission trip your church is going on? Go on that. Go on that. 2 days before we left, I called Pastor. He said, hey, I was worshiping this morning. This is what the Lord told me. He's like, sounds like God to me. Let me know after you buy your ticket. I'll tell you what, God spoke to me in that place that morning, set the course for the last 7 years of my life. It has literally dictated the course for the last 7 years of my life. I became Pastor Carl's intern. God gave me a vision to start a business on that trip. I decided in my heart, no matter what's happening around me, you are good, and I am a worshiper. And this is what I'm going to do. I will respond to you. Amen. You know, you don't need calamity to draw you into the secret place. Most of the time for me, what Holy Spirit uses to draw me is I'll be just laying in bed with my family. And I'll just sense the pleasure of Jesus. Like last night we were laying in bed and I think Noah was watching Madagascar. I don't know. We got like Netflix and we have Amazon movie thing, and Amazon's so frustrating because as soon as we turn it on, all this Thomas the Train Engine pops up, and I can't figure out how to get it to go away, and he sees it and wants to watch it, but it's the most annoying show in the world. Like, Thomas, I'm going to call them. I don't know what, but they got to remove that stuff from the main screen because I can't stand it. But we're sitting there, we're watching, laying in bed watching something, and I just sense the pleasure of Jesus over me. I'm like, oh my God, my life is amazing. Look at this. I'm just looking at my family. And I have to worship. I have to worship. And you know what? If you learn to cultivate a life of worship when it's good, oh, you're set through the hard times, man. But if you wait till it gets hard, that's okay. Still do it. But I want to let you know, new believers, learn to worship early. Learn to worship when it's good. Come to church. Show up on time. Show up on time. I don't know what responding to God looks like for you in your life. I don't know. Maybe responding to God looks like running around the room in circles on Sunday morning. Maybe it looks like just lifting your hands in the air. Maybe it looks like just saying, okay, before I go to work, instead of my normal routine, I'm just going to set 10 minutes for Jesus. I don't care what it is. Start somewhere, but you have to respond to God. For some of you, it's just you got to show up on Sunday mornings on time. You got to show up Sunday morning on time, because I'll tell you what, the Spirit of Jesus is in the room, and you need all 30 minutes of worship. If you're a new believer, that's what responding looks like. I'm going to let you know. Get to church on time. Yeah. Look, we were talking about it earlier, but we got a team full of worshipers. Like, the folks on our team, I'm envious of their relationship with Jesus. What happens when they go home and worship Jesus? Because I hear the testimonies. I'm like, oh God, that's amazing. You were singing that and Jesus showed you that, and then that happened in your life. Wow. Like, we got a team of worshipers up here, and you honor that and you show up. Come on, Jesus. This is where you learn how to do it right here on Sunday morning. This is where you learn how to do it right here on Sunday morning. Amen. Come on, you have to have it decided in your heart. He is good, no matter what. Every single person in this room was created to know God intimately. You know, that desire exists in you. That's real. You were created to worship Jesus. If you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. Number two, we respond. It's the first thing. The second thing is we pour out. The second thing is we pour out. I want to read you a scripture from Psalm 63. So we see the woman, she responded to Jesus. She shows up at the Pharisee's house and she just starts to pour out her passion at his feet. She just starts to pour out her passion at his feet. And it's just bubbling up in her. She's just overflowing. But sometimes it's not bubbling up. Sometimes it's not over. Sometimes you feel a little stuck. One of the things you can do when you're feeling a little stuck is you open Psalm. Here in Psalm 63, I'm going to read this. And for some of you, you're just going to open this Psalm this week when you're just feeling stuck and you can't worship Jesus. And you're just going to start reading this. And something's going to come alive in you. You're going to start to passionately worship Jesus. Amen. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, "Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live." Come on, worshipers. Come on, let's worship together right now. "I lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. You see, when I make that decision to respond to Jesus, I grab my guitar and I walk in, and I'll sit down somewhere and I'll just start to pluck two simple chords. Nothing complicated. I just start to play, and I just start to worship him. And it's simple, man. It's not complicated. It's simple. And I'll just start to tell him, "Holy, worthy, I love you. I love you." When's the last time you just got in worship? You just said, "Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you." And I'll just start to sing it. "Worthy, worthy. Oh, you are worthy. Oh, you are worthy of all my passion, all my devotion belongs to you. Oh, you are worthy. Oh, you are worthy of all my passion, all my devotion belongs to you. Holy, holy, holy." And I just sing to him. And I don't care what I sound like. I don't care what I look like. And you might be thinking, "Oh, that's easy. There's nobody around." You know what? When I'm worshiping at work, there'll be people standing outside my garage, and they'll come in and say, "What is happening in here?" I don't care. Let them listen. Let them think it's, I don't care. I'll just, "You are holy. Oh, I give you all my passion." Come on. You got to pour out your heart to Jesus. You got to pour out your passion to Jesus. This is real worship. You see, the Pharisee brought Jesus into his home. He was dressed nice. His home probably all pretty. Fed him good food. Jesus wasn't impressed with that. Jesus wasn't impressed with that. He wasn't impressed with the Pharisee's perfection. He wasn't. But you know what did impress him? You know what did leave a mark in his heart? The passion of the sinner woman. The passion of the sinner woman. If you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. Go ahead, throw it. Passion can take you places perfection never can. It's not supposed to say out, it's supposed to say you. Passion can take you places perfection never can. Passion will take you places perfection never will. Passion will take you places perfection never will. And there's some of you here this morning, And you know what? Your passion's all clogged up because you're carrying around a bunch of shame. Come on. You're carrying around a bunch of guilt. And that second song, you delight in showing mercy. Come on, I want to tell you this morning, if that's you this morning, and you're carrying around guilt and shame, and your worship, your heart's all clogged up, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you, you are forgiven, and he's calling you to the secret place. He is calling you to the secret place. Listen. At salvation, there was a worshiper placed on the inside of you. Come on, at salvation, there was something that was activated on the inside of you. And you didn't know the right words to sing. You didn't know when to show up on church, to church. You didn't know anything. You didn't know what time, when, where, what to read. You didn't know the scriptures. But I've seen it time and time again. People get saved and just start worshiping Jesus. And they don't know any of the songs. They don't have 88.1. But they'll get saved and they'll receive his forgiveness. And they just start saying, "Jesus, Jesus. Jesus!" That's why I go on mission trips. because I want to. I got to see that. I got to have that raw, unfiltered salvation and worship, life change. I got to see it in my life because that happened to me. You know, sometimes you just got to go share your testimony with someone so you can remember what he did for you.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
You want to ignite your worship, go tell somebody what Jesus did for you and then go worship God.
Come on.
And watch the presence of Jesus roll in, because as you share your testimony, watch that. Those burdens you've been carrying, that guilt and shame, the rut that you've been stuck in, it will lift. As you just tell somebody, hey, Jesus saved me. This is what I used to deal with. This is what he did, and this is my life now. And you realize, oh, wow, I forgot he was good, but he really is good, and he's always been good. And then you choose to respond and start to pour out your heart to Jesus. You start to pour out your heart to Jesus, and something just flows out of you. In 2 Chronicles 5:11, I want to look at this together. Love you guys. You know what? Most Sundays I lead worship up here. I have no voice. I get up here with no voice. Ask Brandon. He just said that to me this morning. We're talking about miracles that God does in worship. I'm hoarse most weeks from worshiping him during the week, and I'll get up here and say, Jesus, somehow you got to make a singer out of me because I ain't got nothing. And I'll get up there and suddenly there's a voice, and I get off stage and there's no voice again. But you know what? I'd rather be hoarse and crack a little bit and live a life of worship with Jesus and get up here and fake it in front of you every week. So next time my voice cracks up there, say, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
2 Chronicles 5:11. You guys there?
Yeah.
Says, when the priest came forth from the holy place, skip the parentheses, and all the Levitical singers, some guy's name, other names, these, that, and the other, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. Verse 13, in unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, when they praise the Lord, saying, he indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. I want to let you know this morning, this is your reality. You pour your passion out to Jesus and watch what happens in your life, because this is what I live for right here. Come on, I'm just a nobody, 27, just following Jesus.
Yeah.
And I know when I pick up my guitar and I go start to sing to Jesus, I know that this, that's my reality.
Come on.
I want to let you know, this was the result of their perfection. They did it right. Very rarely in the Old Covenant, they got it right in the Old Testament, but they got it right. And when they get it right, good stuff happened. And I want to let you know, your passion is better than their perfection.
Come on.
I'm going to say it one more time. I want to let you know that their passion is... Mulligan. All right. Your passion is better than their perfection. I'm saying over here, your passion is better than their perfection. And if your passion is better than their perfection, then how much more of this can you expect? Than? And the glory of the Lord filled the temple so the ministers could not stand. Oh, Jesus. Back to our scripture in Luke. So the Pharisee said, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is, who is touching him, that she is a sinner." The very next verse, in verse 40, says, "Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' And he replied, 'Say it, teacher.' A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one who he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have judged correctly.'" In this scripture and that we just read in 2 Chronicles, the Bible says that they offered more sacrifices than the people could count. They offered more sacrifices than the people could count. They had done everything right. And the glory of the Lord came. I want to ask you this morning, are their sacrifices better than the sacrifice of Jesus? No, it doesn't come close. Doesn't come close. Doesn't come close. You have the sacrifice of Jesus. You've been forgiven. You have been forgiven. And sometimes we just need to remember what we came out of. Sometimes we just need to live in the reality of our forgiveness. Come on, I'm not telling you to walk around with the shame of your past. What I am telling you to do is to recognize, oh, Jesus, you have forgiven me of much, so I love you much. I love you much. This is our reality. I was eternally separated from Jesus. I was cut off from the Father, but he came and died for me. I was cut off from his love forever, but he came and died for me. I was separated, damned to hell, but he came and died for me. And that love that was coming at you on that day is coming at you today. And if we remember what happened that day, then we'll worship with the same zeal we worshiped then. Number three, if you're taking notes, receive. We respond, we pour out, we receive. Now, before you throw stones and tell me, hey, this is worship, we don't receive during worship. Let's fast forward to verse 50 in our scripture today, Luke 7, verse 50. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say to the women? He says, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." She worshiped at his feet. And what did she get? Salvation and peace. Hallelujah. What was she going to say? "No, Jesus, it's just all about you. I don't want salvation or peace." I'll tell you what, when I put my guitar over my back, I sit down, I go get alone with Jesus, I start to sing to him, and his glory comes into the room. Every single time. Every single time I start to feel his affection for me. And he'll say things like, "I'm proud of you, son." And I'll be singing, "Oh, I love you." And I'll hear him sing it back, "Oh, I love you more.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I love you." And he says, "Oh, I love you more. More than you could know.
Thank you, Jesus.
More than you can imagine." And I just stop and I just let him pour it out. I let him pour it out, and he pours it out and pours it out and pours it out. And then he stops, and then I pour it out and pour it out and pour it out. And then I stop, and then he pours it out and pours it out and pours it out. And then he stops, and I pour it out and pour it out and pour it out. Then I stop, and then he pours it out and pours it out and pours it out. Then he stops, and I pour it out. It just keeps going.
Hallelujah.
It just keeps going. Just keeps going. And he says, you know, he said, the Lord said to me the other day, you know the way you look at Noah? You know the way you look at Ella with all that passion and all that affection? He said, oh, the way I look at you, you have no idea.
Wow.
The way you look at you, you can't even fathom the way I look at you. I say, oh, Father, And it just keeps going. And it keeps going. And keeps going. You know, we never worship to get something from the Lord. That would be manipulation. But we can worship aware of the benefits. I never worship to get something. I never worship to say, okay, Lord, this person in my life needs a healing, so I'm going to worship you until you heal them. No, the correct heart says, Lord, this person in my life needs a healing, and I know you're a healer, so I'm going to worship you no matter what happens.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. Never worship to gain something, but you can worship knowing the benefits. Because I'll tell you what, there are benefits. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Man, it's better for us. It's better for us. We're gonna worship here in 1 second. I want to leave you with this quote today. And the body of Christ lost a giant this week.
Yeah.
And Billy Graham once said, it's not the body's posture, but the heart's attitude that counts when you pray. It's not the body's posture, but the heart's attitude that counts when you pray. I don't know what it looks like for you. I don't know what responding to God and pouring out your passion looks like for you this morning. But I want to tell you this, it's not about how you look. It's about what's happening in here. And you may have to look a little crazy out here to get what's in here coming out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Mike, go ahead and start playing a little bit. So we're going to go back into this song that we were doing earlier. And, you know, that was good the first time we did it.
Yeah.
That was really good, right? I think we can do a little better this time. So if you would stand with me. I want to leave you with this challenge. Right now, I'm giving you an opportunity to pour out your passion to Jesus. Whatever that looks like, whatever responding to his goodness in your life looks like, you need to do it this morning. Come on, if you don't normally raise your hands, you got to raise your hands. You got to do something. If you don't normally sing the words, but just ask Jesus. Come on, that passion that he placed inside of you at salvation. That new life that he gave you, the forgiveness that came at you, that you received on that day. Everything he's done, we just pour it right back out to him. So right now, they're about to go off. They're about to go off. They're about to blow up. They're about to go into this song full throttle. And as soon as they do, I want you to respond.
Yeah.
Some of you need to come forward. Some of you need to do something. I don't know, but we're going to lift our voice and sing. You guys ready, band? You guys ready, band? You ready to take off? Here we go. I want to see some passion here this morning. Come on. I want to see some passion here this morning, because what God's doing here this morning, you're going to take it home with you, and your life is going to be different.
Yeah.
You guys ready? I'm going to count to three. They're going to go into the song, and we're going to cry out to Jesus. You guys ready? One, two, three. Let's sing it, band. Come on.
So I will wait and spend my days loving.
Just need to come forward. We're gonna do this again. Some of you guys just need to come forward. We're gonna get free in the house of God this morning. Here, let me read this to you again. See, worship is to regard with great or extravagant devotion. Come on, extravagant devotion. Right now, church, let's see it. Extravagant devotion. We're going to pour out our heart to Jesus, and we're going to leave changed this morning. Amen. Extravagant devotion. Come on, band, let's go. Thank you for your spirit in the room this morning. I thank you for what you're doing in our midst today. I thank you, Jesus, that you are alive and you are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our worship. I was going to dismiss you, but I feel the Lord stirring in the room right now. So yeah, if you have to leave, thank you for coming today, but we're going to press in for a little bit, amen. If you have to leave, thank you for coming. God bless you.